from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for June 25th. Iris here. June 25th. Health and longevity in 10. Let's begin with what changed my mind this week. Let's get into it. First, from MedPage Today. Prenatal exposure to acid suppressants in kids at risk. No need to worry. MedPage Today. Prenatal exposure to acid suppressive drugs did not have a clear association with the development of inflammatory bowel disease ABV in childhood, a South Korean cohort study suggested. While prenatal exposure to acid suppressive next. Second, from MedPage Today. Hutayls serve as a marker of immunotherapy benefit in early TNBC. MedPage Today. At the American Society of Clinical Oncology ESCO meeting, long-term follow-up from the KEYNOTE-522 trial reinforced the survival benefit of pembrolizumab Keytruda-based therapy in early-stage triple-negative breast cancer. Up next. Third, from MedPage Today, LSDs, depression, wind, summer heat, and suicide, antipsychotic non-response predictors. MedPage Today top-line data showed that a single dose of an investigational LSD-based pill DU120 met primary and key secondary endpoints in a phase Roman III trial of adults with major depressive disorder, developer Definium Therapeutics said. And then, fourth, from MedPage Today, can advanced MRI personalized radiation for glioblastoma? MedPage Today, following the American Society of Neuroradiology ESNR meeting, MedPage Today convened three leaders in neuro-oncology and brain tumor imaging for a virtual round table discussion on the evolving role of advanced MRI in brain next. Fifth, from MedPage Today, FDA approved CDK4/6 inhibitor for HER2-positive breast cancer. The FDA's decision rests on a randomized phase Roman III trial that added palbociclib to the standard trastuzumab plus endocrine therapy backbone for people with hormone receptor-positive, HER2-positive breast cancer. The study showed a modest but statistically significant extension of progression-free survival, about a few months longer on average compared with trastuzumab and endocrine therapy alone. Because the trial was controlled and fairly large, the evidence is stronger than a single-center or observational report, though the absolute benefit isn't dramatic. Safety data mirrored what we already know about palbociclib. Neutropenia and fatigue were the most common side effects, but they were generally manageable with dose adjustments. The approval is limited to first-line maintenance use, meaning it's intended after initial chemotherapy has cleared the bulk of disease. It's not a blanket recommendation for every HER2-positive case, just for those whose tumors also express hormone receptors and who can tolerate a CDK4/6 inhibitor. If you or someone you know fits that profile, it's worth discussing the modest gain in time without progression against the added pill burden and potential blood count drops. The conversation should weigh personal priorities, side effect tolerance, and the fact that the benefit, while real, is relatively small. Up next, 6th from MedPage Today, shorter to be regimen matched standard care in rifampicin-resistant disease, a phase Roman III non-inferiority trial compared a 6-month regimen to the usual longer course for pulmonary rifampicin-resistant TB. They enrolled 402 patients and measured how many achieved treatment success without relapse. By the end of follow-up, the cure rate in the 6-month arm was essentially the same as in the standard arm, and safety profiles were comparable. Because the shorter schedule didn't fall short on efficacy, it suggests we could treat these infections in half the time without sacrificing outcomes. That could mean fewer clinic visits, lower costs, and better adherence for patients. The study still leaves some questions, like how the regimen performs in real world settings and whether it works equally well for all subgroups, but the evidence is solid enough to consider the 6-month option as a viable alternative to the longer protocol. And then, 7th from MedPage Today, South African civil groups warned of dire impact as U.S. phases out HIV funding. South African NGOs are sounding the alarm because the U.S. is pulling back its HIV aid, and the first people to feel the squeeze are adolescent girls and women. The funding cut comes from the Trump administration's decision to shrink the PEPFAR budget that has underpinned most of the country's testing, treatment, and prevention services for years. Those groups say the reduction will shrink clinic capacity, delay antiretroviral rollouts, and make it harder to reach young women who are already at higher risk. Without the money, they expect a rise in new infections and a setback in the gains made against AIDS-related deaths. They're urging the South African government and other donors to step in quickly, otherwise the safety net that kept many people on treatment could fray. It's a reminder that even modest funding shifts can ripple through vulnerable communities. Next, 8th from MedPage Today. Few IVF add-ons have any proven benefits, study shows. A systematic review of 28 randomized trials and a handful of observational studies looked at the most common IVF add-ons, things like embryo glue, time, lapse imaging, and pre-implantation genetic testing. The data showed that most of these interventions didn't improve live birth rates, and any benefit that did appear was modest at best. The researchers also ran a small pilot where couples used an evidence-based website that broke down the numbers in plain language. After browsing, participants reported feeling more confident about declining treatments that lacked solid proof. In short, the bulk of add-ons aren't backed by strong evidence, and tools that clearly present the research can help patients make choices that match their own priorities. Up next, 9th from MedPage Today, health spending projected to hit almost $9 trillion in 2034. Researchers at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services used a projection model that extends recent spending trends and demographic shifts to estimate future costs. Their best estimate puts total U.S. health expenditures at $8.97 trillion by 2034, roughly a 30% rise from today. The same model suggests the share of the population with health insurance will inch down each year, a modest but steady decline. Those numbers hold, average per-person spending will keep climbing, and policymakers will face a tighter gap between cost growth and coverage. And then, 10th from MedPage Today, midterm TAVR data turn muddy. Will 10 years even suffice for a verdict? MedPage Today in W. York City, it was increasingly clear that clinical trials alone won't tell the full story of how transcatheter aortic valve replacement TAVR performs in the real world, according to midterm studies presented here. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.